Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
So we're in the final week of this breakthrough series. And if you haven't been able to attend for the last couple of weeks, I and many others will encourage you to go to our website, to go to YouTube, and to chase up those first two messages that we have actually spoken on in these last couple of weeks. We started with Pastor Inoke, and he spoke about our bodies being the temple of Holy Spirit. And he spoke about how we should care for our bodies because it is the temple of Holy Spirit. Our taking good care of our bodies is the very act of worship to God. And I think one of the most powerful things that Pastor Inoke said was this: in going forward, start small. Small changes bring significant outcomes. Amen? Yeah, we've just got to make that first step. Hey, we've got to be willing to do that. And then last Sunday, we heard from Chad Loftus. And Chad's a qualified counsellor. He has been a missionary for 10 years. And he spoke particularly on our minds. And he focused on anxiety. And as he said, you know, anxiety has an impact upon us as individuals. It has an impact upon our families, upon our communities, upon our state and nation. Yeah? And so he spoke into that space. And he said, and he encouraged us, not to see anxiety as being something wrong with you or with us, but to see it as an invitation to draw close to God. That's a powerful word, isn't it? And I encourage you to take these things on board. And this week, Lord willing, I'll have a nice flashy something for you to take home as well. We'll just see how we go. But I'll be teaching on breakthroughs in faith. I want to start by telling you, when I follow Jesus in my journey of faith, it has been perfect. I have never doubted, I have never struggled, I have never stumbled in the last 5 minutes. But it's true, isn't it? I have had incredible mountaintop experiences in my life. I've had those experiences in the deepest, darkest valleys. I have this desire to live for God in such a way that I don't have any doubts. I want to draw ever closer to Him. I want to know Him and the power of His Word. And I don't want to just know it. I want to live that out in my life. Not so that I appear better than anyone else, but because I so trust Him that I'm focused fully upon Him and I live fully for Him. I want unwavering faith. I want to pray knowing and believing that He hasn't just heard my prayers, but that He's answered them. And you know what? When I look at my life, when I look at how I've lived for Him, it ain't really like that. When I think about following Jesus, I look to other people and I see these people who seem so switched on for Him, so engaged, so passionate about Him, so getting it right, and I'm not. And I'm on my own, aren't I? This has never happened to you. Hey, you've never struggled in a similar way to me. You've never found yourself desiring more of God. You've never experienced that barrier between you and Him. Or maybe you have. And if that's you, hopefully as we dig a little further into this message, God will do something good in your life. Let's pause and pray. Father God, I thank You, You are sovereign. I thank You that You rule over all. I thank You that You are King. And Lord, I just want to pray very much as the way Pastor Stan has prayed. We need You, Lord. I need You. Pastor Stan needs You. And Lord, we just want You to use this space here in this auditorium with the people at home online, Lord. We want You to use this space for Your glory and Your purposes. Will You speak to us this morning, Lord? Will You challenge us? And more than anything, will You help us to be obedient to what You call us to today? In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, what is a spiritual breakthrough? Well, in the Christian concept, in the Christian circles, a spiritual breakthrough can be defined as a time when a person is initially saved, when they first give their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or when someone gains a deeper understanding of biblical truth, those light bulb moments in our lives, when they receive an answer to prayer, and sometimes these are powerful prayers, big prayers, sometimes they're little prayers, but God answers and they can acknowledge that God has answered that prayer for them. And sometimes it's about winning victory over a sin that has held them back for so long, something that they have struggled with. And I think it's important to emphasize at the very outset of this message that we don't pursue an experience. We don't pursue a spiritual breakthrough. We don't pursue an emotional encounter. But rather, we do what Scripture tells us, and we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, just before this, Jesus has been speaking, and He's been saying, don't pursue earthly treasure or wealth. He's saying, don't pursue drink, don't pursue food, don't pursue clothing. Don't pursue anything, in fact, except the kingdom of God. Because we serve a God who knows our needs. We serve a God who provides those things for us. He loves us. He will never, ever fail us. He won't neglect us. There's this encounter in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 to 33, Peter has with Jesus. And I want to base this message loosely around that account. You see, the disciples are in the boat, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus walks out to them upon the water. And when they see Jesus, they fear that this apparition is a ghost. And so Jesus says, hey guys, chill, it's all right. Don't fear, it is me. And Peter responds, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. If it is you. Has anyone ever prayed a prayer like that? If it is you. Lord, if you're really there. God, if you are a real God, will you reveal your truth to me? Will you reveal the truth of who you are to me so I can know you? You know, I firmly believe that anyone who has sincerely prayed that prayer, anyone who has sincerely asked that, God will answer that, and He'll answer that in a powerful and miraculous way, and you'll come to know Him. And there's so much caught up in those prayers, isn't there? Lord, if you're real. God, I want to know you. But when we have those prayers or conversations with God, it really is that first step in a life committed to Jesus. It's that first tentative step of faith, isn't it? And it's at a point like this where we make that first step in a lifelong journey and commitment to Jesus. God, if you're real, if you're really there, hear my prayer and answer me. Reveal yourself to me. And I believe each and every person who earnestly prays that will be answered by God. And then you have a choice. Do you believe that He is Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, the God that we read about, or do we deny Him? And all of it hinges off who we say Jesus is. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 7, he speaks about this. And Paul is a guy who didn't believe in Jesus while Jesus walked this earth, didn't believe He was the Son of God. But he says, Jesus Christ died for our sins, the sins of the world. Not just your sins, every sin that you can imagine, Jesus died for that sin. And He died on the cross. And He didn't just swoon or faint, as some people say. He was D-E-D, dead. And we know that because He was buried. And the great exciting thing for us who believe is that He didn't stay buried, but He rose on the third day. Is that an exciting thing? I think it is. Amen. God is good. Jesus rose from the dead, proving that He had victory over sin and death. That is why we're here this morning. That is the foundations of our faith. That is my God, and that's who I worship. From a worldly perspective, though, it's impossible, isn't it? Who can rise from the dead? And Paul is aware of this. He says, that's okay, because I didn't believe either. In fact, I was persecuting those who followed the way, those who followed Jesus. But this resurrected, now alive Jesus, he actually appeared to Cephas, who we know as Peter. And he didn't only appear to Cephas or Peter, he appeared to the 12 disciples as well. And they didn't make this up. The 12 disciples didn't get together and make this up, because Jesus also appeared to more than 500 men at one time. And Paul says, you know what? If you don't believe me, go ask them. They're still alive. And finally, there's this one add-on. He appeared to James. Why is this significant? James is a half-brother of Jesus. And James, up until the time, and his siblings, up until the time Jesus died, didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, he used to give Jesus a bit of a hard time about that claim. And then something happened which transformed James's life. History tells us that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was so devoted to Jesus that they called him camel knees. He prayed so diligently to Jesus, his half-brother, that he had calluses on his knees that looked like camels. And James would ultimately die for his faith. He would die declaring that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. So what was the transformation? What was the change? It was the fact that he saw the risen Lord. They all declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Who do you say Jesus is today? Who is Jesus to you? I just want to encourage you, cry out to him today. Ask him to reveal the truth to you, because I know that he will. And committing our lives to Jesus, accepting him as our personal Lord and Savior, as I said, is that first step. If we want to experience breakthroughs in faith, we have to surrender or submit our lives fully to him. We have to humble ourselves. And this is to be an ongoing aspect of our life as we follow Jesus. It never stops. It continues. And our lives are to be marked by this continual submission and humility to him, giving him the right to rule and reign over our lives. In our passage from Matthew, Peter has asked the Lord if it is him to command him to come out onto the water. And Peter isn't going anywhere without a word from Jesus. And Jesus says, come. One word. And Peter steps out of the boat onto the water. The wind is still raging. The waves are still crashing. But there's power in the word of God. Amen. He brings peace into chaos. He calms any storm. God's word was spoken, and everything we see, feel, and touch was brought into being. And it'll be God's word that folds it all up again and brings it to an end. If Jesus hadn't spoken to Peter, or if Peter hadn't heard what Jesus said, would have he stepped out of the boat? There is power in the word of God. The question is, do we create enough space, enough room in our lives to hear from God? Does your everyday life away from church reflect your submission and your humility to Jesus and his word, your willingness to spend time with him and hear him speak? And I know there's some people here who get this right. You know how I know? Because it's written all over your face. And it's part of your conversation. You can't stop talking about Jesus and who he is. I want you to think about your personal quiet times. Would you consider your personal quiet times a snack, or would you consider them a meal? Can you honestly say that your quiet times are your daily bread? A spiritual meal that empowers, equips, and strengthens us each and every day for whatever it is that we're going to face. Is that what you'd say about your quiet times? It's interesting, because in order to flourish physically, in order for us to build great bodies, thank you, we feed ourselves correctly, don't we? We eat the right food. And so many expect to know God, to grow spiritually, And yet, they don't have that spiritual meal. They don't spend time with God, which we need to do each and every day. And it shouldn't be rushed. We should abide in God's word, as John 15:5 tells us. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Only in abiding in God's word, you know, that word abide means to dwell in, to continue in, to spend time in. And only in abiding in God's word can we become spiritually strong. And in fact, without it, we can do nothing. Nothing that's of benefit to the kingdom. If we want to know God more, if we want him to be involved and influential in every part of our life, if we want a breakthrough in faith, if that's what we desire, we need to spend time with him in his word. And when we create that space, when we spend time with God, he and his word become an anchor for us, regardless of life circumstances, regardless of what's going on around us. The wind and the waves didn't bother Peter. When he stepped out on the water, they were still present. And the incredible thing is, Peter's focus had shifted. He had spent time with Jesus, and when Jesus said, come, notice Jesus didn't say, yes, Peter, it's me. Jesus just said, come. Peter knew Jesus' voice, and so he responded, because he'd spent time with Jesus. And suddenly, the impossible becomes possible. Do you know and trust God's voice enough to step out of the boat? Peter stepped out of the boat. He was responding to Jesus' call. Would you do the same? So many of us will never experience these breakthroughs in faith that we're talking about, these things that we desire or realize God's full potential for your life, because we don't hear his voice. And so many of us sometimes hear his voice, but we fail to respond to him. For many of us, me included, for much of my life, my security is in the boat. You see, I'm in that boat and I'm comfortable. But the creator of all things stands on the water. And he calls to us. Will we respond? Because if we do, he'll empower us. Because see, the breakthrough doesn't come just through hearing his voice. It comes when we respond to what he says. Are we willing to obey him? If we want to experience breakthroughs in faith, it has to be characterized by action. If we are truly submitted to God, then our lives will reflect our dependence upon him. Peter steps out of the boat. I've got to be honest, the more I read this account, the more it blows me away. He no longer sees security in the boat. He no longer sees security in his friends who were there who could help him. 11 guys still in the boat. But he looked out to Jesus, and without hesitation, when Jesus says, come, he steps out onto the water. And there are a number of things, a number of excuses that Peter could have used. We know that the boat is safe. We know that the boat is dry. It makes sense to stay in the boat, and there's 11 people there who can support him in that. But what about us? When we think about it, Peter, no one's ever walked on water before. Why would you do that? And what about us? What prevents us from stepping out on the water? What prevents us from being all that we can be for our Savior? Well, I think here, in context, in the Western world, we've become very comfortable. We're comfortable in our workplace. We're comfortable in our careers. We're comfortable in our financial position. We're comfortable in our relationships. We're comfortable in our resources. We're comfortable because we've got our 5 or our 10-year plan. And yes, I used to have one of those. And there's so much more that we're comfortable with. And with everything that we have, why do we need Jesus? Why do we need God? The problem is, if our hope, if our security, if our dependence is on anything but Jesus, we're falling short of all we can be for God. To step out of the boat, God has to be valued more than anything else in our lives. We have to depend upon Him more than anything else. I want you to think about your attitude towards your material possessions and your finances. Whatever you have, think about this seriously. Whatever you have, if God told you to give it away tomorrow, would you? Some work to do over there. If God told you to give it away, would you? This is King David speaking. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly, for all things come from you and of your own have we given you. David has just made an offering towards the temple, the building of the temple, which he will never see. The conservative estimates say that by our dollars today, he has just given $200 billion to that work. If we go to the top end, people say it's over $800 billion. And what does David say about that money? He says, "What a privilege, Lord, to give back what is already yours anyway. All that I have is yours and I happily release it to you." And you know what is incredible for me? When we think about King David, we think about him being a man after God's own heart. We don't think about him being filthy rich. Do we hold our worldly possessions and material possessions, our finances in loose hands, willingly letting them go when called to? And does our attitude towards our wealth and possessions show that we have greater dependence upon God than our things? The bottom line, what do we value and hold tight to? Is it Jesus or is it our stuff? And what about our prayer lives? Do our prayer lives reflect our total dependence upon God? So many try lots of other things. You know, they have a situation or a problem and they try all these things and then they get to the end of that and nothing's worked and they said, "Well, I suppose I can pray." Of course, Pastor Stan and I and Pastor Deanna, you know, okay, we've never had anyone say that to us. But I want you to look at Peter. He looks at the wind and the waves. He begins to doubt and he begins to sink and his dependence has not shifted. Did you notice that? He still turns to the Lord and he says, "Lord, save me." And I've got to be honest, if that was me, I'd be going for the boat. I love fishing. I know the boat's safe and there's 11 guys there who can help me get out of the water back into the boat. But his dependence has not shifted. He still sees that it is Jesus who can save him. His first cry is to Jesus. And Jesus steps in, lifting Peter out of the water. In no time, Jesus is closer than we know. And he is so willing to help us. He's so willing to step into our space and time and answer those prayers. Are we praying constantly? And in those prayers, do those prayers reflect our dependence on God? Do our prayers express a desire to seek and align ourselves with God's will and purpose? I want you to think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the greatest example of prayer that we can have. And Jesus realized what was coming and he was struggling. He was troubled by what was coming. And he asked God to remove the cup from him. And yet he finishes with, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." God doesn't answer the prayer for the cup to be removed. But he sends an angel to minister to Jesus and that angel empowers and equips him for what he is about to face and Jesus is able to endure as a result. In my life, the true breakthroughs in faith have come when I've endured in prayer. when I've constantly knocked on heaven's door? Is that how we pray? Do we pray believing that God has answered? I have a saying that I often use. God seems to almost always turn up almost too late. Confusing, isn't it? God seems to almost always turn up almost too late. He's never late. I just think he is. You know, you are praying constantly and God isn't answering. It's like there's a brass ceiling there and you're wondering what was going on. But when he finally reveals his answer, when it finally comes, God's perfect timing was right. And I can see his thumbprints all over everything. He hears us and he answers us immediately. But sometimes that answer takes time to come. So what's this mean for us? I want to go back to what Pastor Anoke said. I'm going to challenge you to just take a small step today. Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? If not, why not? You've heard what has been said this morning about Jesus. Why not accept him today? What does he have to do in order for you to believe? Or maybe you're someone who made that first commitment to Jesus and you just haven't continued on with him and he's calling you back to him today. If that's you, I challenge you to respond to him. Have you been baptized? Scripture tells us that you believe you get baptized. Maybe he's telling you to be baptized today. Is your life fully submitted to Jesus? Are you creating space for him to speak to you? Are your quiet times everything that they need to be? Are you feeding yourself so you can grow spiritually? Maybe Jesus has put his thumb on that today and he said, hey, you need to deal with that. Does the way you live demonstrate a dependence on God? Is prayer your first response in each and every situation? Do you hold your wealth and material possessions loosely in your hand, knowing that all you have is from God? And would you willingly, joyfully release that for him if he called you to? I believe God is calling us to act today, not just those of us in the auditorium, but you people online as well. I believe God is calling us to act. And so often we wait for God to act or move. Did you notice that it was Peter that initiated walking on the water? It's incredible. Lord, if it's you, call me out on the water. And so often God is waiting for you to take that first step. And he's going to meet you. He's going to do so much. You just need to take that first step. And can you imagine the celebration that would happen in heaven if you respond to what Jesus is calling you today? Could you imagine what would happen in this place? Could you imagine if we decide to be this people the scripture has told us about, that how we would commit, submit, and depend on God? If we all decided to do that today, could you imagine how we would love others more, how we would care for others more, how we would grow in love and unity with each other? You know, we would no longer need to strive to be a loving community. We would be a loving community who seeks, serve, and share Jesus. Amen? Is that you today? I'm going to ask you just to all close your eyes. No one's watching. All close your eyes. If you've never given your life to Jesus and he's calling you to do that today, would you please raise your hand? That's all I'm asking you to do. Just raise your hand where you are. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. If you know you haven't committed your life to Jesus the way you need to, you made that first time commitment, but you haven't followed him, will you please raise your hand now? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. If your life doesn't reflect a submission to him, if you know you are lacking in your quiet times, will you please raise your hand now? Committing that time to him. Thank you so much. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you. If you fail to depend on God, if you're depending on your material wealth, your possessions, those types of things, and now you know that's not right, can you please raise your hands? Praise God. Thank you. I'm going to pray for each of you guys. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for those who have made first-time commitments here in the auditorium. I thank you, Lord, that they've heard your voice and that they've responded to that. I thank you, Lord, for those who've said that they are willing to recommit their lives to you. I thank you, Lord, for those who've acknowledged that they haven't lived the way that they should and now they want to, Lord. Will you just be in this place now? Will you, by power of Holy Spirit, continue to do your work? Will you touch each and everyone's lives here in the auditorium and those at home as well? Father, this is your space. Continue your work, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God.